All right, let's take our Bibles and open to the book of Genesis. It'll be in Genesis 12, and the first three verses of this chapter will be the focus of our study today. Genesis 12, 1, 2, and 3. So we began our series in our last lesson, a series on the Beatitudes. And to do that, we read the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 1 through 12. And noted, of course, how each of them starts with the word blessed and how that describes for us what the Beatitudes are, those blessed statements that we find in Scripture. And so because of that, we talked about the word blessed and what it means biblically, and that sometimes people translate it as happy, but it's much more than just being happy. You know, the word happy or happiness is built on the word hap, hap, H-A-P. And hap is the root for happen or happening or happenstance or those kinds of things. And so happiness is based on whatever happens. So if something good happens, then you're happy. If something bad happens, then we're not happy. We're sad or angry or whatever. And so happiness is very much determined by what happens in life. But that's not what it means to be blessed. Blessedness is much more than happiness because it's not based on what happens in life. It's based on something much greater and much deeper than that, which is our fellowship with God that comes through the sacrifice of Jesus and the forgiveness of sins that he provides for us. So when we think about blessed and being blessed and one of God's blessed people, we're talking about someone whose sufficiency comes from God and not from the circumstances of life or the happenings of life. And so you can be sick and still be blessed. You can be, have difficulties and trials and still be blessed. You know, when you think about people who are blessed in the Bible, you think about Abraham, which we're going to read about this morning. You think about Job, you think about David, men like that. Abraham was very rich in cattle and in silver and in gold, the Bible says. Job chapter 1 tells us that Job had, you know, a large household so that he was the greatest of all the people in the East. And at the end of his story, after he lost everything, the Bible tells us that it was all doubled from what he had when it started. And you think about David and all he did in conquering the enemies of Israel and bringing prosperity to the land. You think of those people as being blessed, but it's not because of all those material possessions. Abraham was just as blessed when he was standing on Mount Moriah with the knife drawn to kill his son Isaac as he was when he counted, his flocks and his herds. Job was just as blessed when he was going through those horrible sufferings. I mean, he lost his family and his friends and his possessions and even his own health, yet he was still blessed. He didn't quite understand that at the time, but that's the nature of being blessed. And you think of David, all that he did for good, and then he had to flee, from his own son Absalom, but he was still blessed, because blessed is not based on what happens in life. It's on, again, something much deeper than that. And so their fellowship with God is what made them blessed, and that enabled them, of course, to get through all of the bad things that happened and to rejoice and be thankful in the good things that happened. But through it all, there was this blessedness. So as we think about that idea, we go to Genesis 12, and we have the promise that God made to Abraham here in those first three verses. So it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And so obviously when we read that promise, we hear that word bless a lot. And so we learn that God would bless Abraham, and then Abraham would be a blessing. God would bless those who blessed Abraham, and at the end, through Abraham, all families of the earth will be blessed, would be blessed. And so when we're thinking about that word blessed and the idea of being blessed and that as the root of the Beatitudes, this is the source of all of that. Every beatitude that we read in the Bible stems from or grows from this root of God's promise made to Abraham. And if we can understand this promise, then it will help us to understand what it means to be blessed and then to realize how we can be blessed. That is to be one of God's blessed. So we'll talk about three things this morning. Number one, the nature of the blessing. And the nature is this: God said that he would bless Abraham. So when we talked about that word blessed last time, we noted that it, when it was in a verb form, it had to do with bending the knee before. And so it was the idea of bowing down to, especially to God, to give to him what he desires and what he deserves. And so when we bless God, we're not bestowing blessings on him in the sense of, you know, like he does for us with our air and our food and our, you know, everything that we have in this life. And the spiritual blessings, we're not blessing God in that way, but we're giving him what he is due, what he's worthy of, the worship and the honor and the praise and the service and devotion and all of that, that God is truly worthy of and all that he deserves. And so that idea of blessing is, you know, honoring God the way that he should be honored. Well, God promised to bless Abraham. And so when you think about it just in its, you know, simplest, most basic, you know, way of thinking of this idea, God would give to Abraham things that would bless him. And so he's going to have land in Canaan. He's going to, you know, have his possessions and those things. But then God says, I will bless you, and then you will become, or you will be a blessing. And so God would bestow things upon Abraham, and then he would then use those to bless others. And we can understand that principle because it still happens to us today. God allows us to have a job, and we make money, and then we use that money to give to the church so that the Lord's work can be done. We use that money to help someone who is in need, to, you know, do what we can to comfort someone who is grieving, to buy material, to help somebody study the Bible, whatever it is to do God's work. We use God's blessings to bless others. And that's, you know, the base, most basic, simplest idea that's being expressed here. But it's more than that. It's not just that God was going to give Abraham things and then Abraham would use those things to help other people, though he would do that. That just kind of illustrates the bigger principle of what's happening here and what God is talking about here. When God says that he will bless Abraham, he means that he's blessing him by choosing him to be the head of this seed line through whom the Messiah will come, the Savior of the world. And so for all of the cattle and gold and silver and everything that Abraham had, as great as that was, it's nothing compared to what God gave him spiritually to allow him to be, you know, the father of the faithful. And we're going to see that in Galatians 3, that we still today as Christians are the children of Abraham, the spiritual descendants of Abraham. So that's ultimately how God blessed Abraham. And then Abraham would be a blessing to others, number one, because he would do good for others, but more than that, because of this promise, that's going to affect how Abraham lives in the world. It's going to affect the influence that he has on the world, and it's going to, in some ways, bring material blessings to other people, but ultimately, it's going to bring salvation to all people. And that's what the end of the promise is, that all nations, all families of the earth would be blessed through Abraham because of Jesus. But it starts in his own life and then through that bloodline. The what would become the nation of Israel was meant to be a blessing to the world. They were to be the light to the Gentiles. They were supposed to show everybody what it looks like when God is your king and you are a royal priesthood. And they failed at doing that. They didn't keep their end of the bargain. But that was the whole point for them to bless the world by revealing God through his law and through them as a nation. So that's part of the blessing also. So God would bless Abraham, Abraham would bless others, and then ultimately all nations would be blessed. And that has to do with Jesus. Now, notice that this teaches us, you know, the truth about election, about God's doctrine, the Bible doctrine of election, predestination or foreordination, however you want to use those words. This tells us what that is all about. It's not about God choosing or electing individuals, but it's that God elected or chose a group. And the group that God chose is made up of those who would receive the blessing that God promised to Abraham. And the way you receive that blessing, of course, as we're going to see, is by being in Christ. And so God promised this blessing for all families of the earth. He didn't say, Abraham, you're going to be a blessing to this select group of people that I have already chosen and predestinated, and they don't have a choice about receiving it, and those who don't receive it, they don't have a choice either. God said, it's for everybody. That doesn't mean everybody will have it because some won't obey, but it's available to everyone. And so God's doctrine of predestination is that he foreordained that in Christ is where salvation would be, and anybody who wants to can be in Christ. And that was brought about through this promise that he made to Abraham. So the gospel is for all, as we sing. It's for everybody because that's what God's promise was. And again, this, you know, foundational promise leading us all the way to Christ. So that's the nature of the blessing. It's more than just material things. It's a spiritual promise that has spiritual benefits, ultimately, for the whole world. So secondly, let's talk about the object of the blessing. So if you keep reading in Genesis 12, verse number 4 says, "So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran." And so we learn that being one of the blessed has to do with a person's relationship with God. And the way that's demonstrated here is that God said, Abraham, get thee out. And what did Abraham do? He got out. God said, leave. And Abraham packed up and left. Again, verse 4 says, Abram departed. So God told him to leave, and Abraham left. That's what it takes to be blessed by God, to be one of the blessed, to take God at his word, to trust him, and to obey him. And that's how you have a relationship of fellowship with God, trust and obey. If you go over to chapter 22 in Genesis, in verse number 18, you know, several times throughout the book of Genesis, this promise is given again and again. God re-emphasizes it to Abraham. And each time he adds, you know, a little detail or tells us something maybe we hadn't seen before. In chapter 22 in verse 18, he said, I'm on the wrong page here. I went to chapter 28. It's 22 in verse 18. So he said this, "And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." So God adds here that all nations are going to be blessed because Abraham was obedient. Now, we saw his obedience in chapter 12, but now God specifically ties that to the promise and to the blessing. And then in chapter 26, in verse number 4, we have a similar statement made. It's actually in verse number 5 of that chapter. But verses 4 and 5 here tells us this. God says, "I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thee," or unto thy seed, "all these countries." And so that's the land of Canaan. God says, "I'm going to multiply you, make you a great nation, and give you land." And then he says, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." So God first made the promise and then showed us that Abraham obeyed. Then he made the promise again and told us it's because Abraham obeyed. And now he says the promise again and emphasizes that not only did Abraham obey, but this is how he obeyed. He kept whatever God charged him, whatever God commanded him, whatever statute God made, whatever law God gave, Abraham did it. So he followed God faithfully. Again, he trusted and obeyed God's commandments. And so Abraham was doing what Enoch had done. He was walking with God. And this is what that means, to listen to God and to do what he says. And so because of that, this blessing is going to come through Abraham. He's going to become the, you know, the great example of faith in the Bible. And his story is a story of faith. It explains faith, gives us a visual, a picture of faith. And then when you read about Abraham in the New Testament, it's almost always, or maybe even always, connected to faith. He's teaching us what true faith really is. And so ultimately what God is saying is that this promise is going to come through that kind of faith, obedience, in Christ. Because this is a promise about a seed line that brings us to Jesus. So let's go to Galatians 3 and read that in the New Testament. And I know we just finished, you know, studying the book of Galatians, so this is pretty familiar to us, or at least I hope it is. It's been a while since we were in chapter 3. But reading back over this, you know, hopefully we'll jog our memories and we can notice the connection here. But in chapter 3 of Galatians, verse number 6, notice what God says. He says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, obviously, we talked about that in detail when we studied it. But we're learning here that Abraham believed God, which we've already seen is not faith alone. He didn't just believe that God existed and ask God to have a personal relationship with him. Abraham trusted God and obeyed. Whatever God said, that's what he did, and that's what true faith is. And that's why it was reckoned to him for righteousness. So Abraham was a sinner, and we know that because God records some of his sins for us in the Bible. And so part of his story is his weakness and his sins and his faults and how he grows through those to be a person of faith. And so when the Bible says it was counted to him for righteousness, it means that Abraham was a sinner, but what God wrote on his account was righteous. Now, how could God do that? Well, it was because God knew that through Abraham, a Savior was going to come who would pay the price for Abraham's sins. So when Abraham trusted God and did what God said, when Jesus died, his blood took away Abraham's sin. So in the meantime, God accounted him as being righteous. So he had sins, but there was forgiveness through the blood of Christ. And so Abraham could be forgiven because of his obedience, his faithful obedience to God. So when you keep reading there in verse 7, he says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed, begins a bloodline which leads to Christ. And now those who have the same kind of faith that Abraham had, they are the children of Abraham. It's not the ones who have Abraham's blood flowing in their veins. It's not people who can trace their lineage back through their forefathers to Abraham, but it's those who practice the same kind of faith that Abraham did. Trust God and obey him. Whatever he commands, whatever law he gives, whatever he tells us to do, we do it. That's what it means to be a child or a descendant of Abraham. Now notice verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that's the Gentiles, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now, Paul says that when God made that promise in Genesis 12 and verse 3, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed, that God was preaching the gospel to Abraham. And he was doing it beforehand, before it came to pass. Now, that doesn't mean that God told Abraham all the details about Jesus and what he was going to do and everything, but it means that when God gave that promise, Paul says, that's the gospel. In thee shall all nations be blessed is the gospel. It's the good news about Jesus. So Paul's telling us very clearly and very specifically that that statement was a promise of Christ, a promise that the Messiah would come and he would be a savior. And so the scripture foreseeing this, and notice how Paul words that, how the Holy Spirit words that, the scripture foreseeing that God would, the scripture didn't foresee that. The Bible doesn't foresee things on its own. God foresaw that and he wrote it down. And so when God had Moses write Genesis 12:3, he was already seeing Jesus and what was going to happen because he's God. And that's why the prophecies always are kept exactly as God promised them, because God gave them. And that's why the Bible is the word of God and no other book is, because no other book can do what God did. So God saw it, and that was what was written down. Now notice verse 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And there's our word again, blessed. We're talking about beatitudes, what it means to be blessed. And God's promise was that in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Paul said that was the gospel. That was talking about Jesus. So he says those which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, which means that Abraham was one of the blessed because God gave him the promise and Abraham trusted God and obeyed. So he's going to receive the benefits of that promise. In his life, it was accounted as righteousness. When Jesus died, his sins were actually forgiven. And so if I want to receive that same promise and be blessed like Abraham was and have my sins forgiven, then I have to have the same kind of faith that Abraham had in the Messiah, in God's plan of redemption that included Jesus and his sacrifice. And so if I am of faith, then I become one of the blessed along with Abraham. So being one of God's blessed, number one, is through faith. But number two, Galatians 3 tells us that it is also through Christ. In verse 13, he says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham, again, there's our word, blessing, and it's tied to that promise, the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be a man's covenant, but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And so Paul says the blessing of Abraham was made available to who? To the Gentiles. You know who that is, right? That's all nations. There's the Jews, and then there's all other nations. What was the promise? All nations will be blessed, not just the nation of Israel, not just the blood descendants of Abraham, but all people. That's the Gentiles. And Paul says that that blessing comes upon the Gentiles through Christ. And then he explains in verse 16 that God's promise about Abraham's seed was singular because it was about one man, one person, Jesus. And so this promise of Genesis 12 is fulfilled in Christ. He's what God was talking about, and he's the one who makes this promise of being blessed possible. And so it's through faith, and it's through Christ, and then it's also through obedience. And that's the end of Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26 says, for you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Which promise? The promise of Genesis 12:3. The promise that in Abraham, all families of the earth will be blessed. So if I have the same kind of faith that Abraham had, I'm going to listen to what God says, trust him, and obey him. For Abraham, that meant leaving his home and his family and going to a place that God would take him. For Abraham's descendants, ultimately, that meant receiving the law of Moses and living under it. For us today, it means hearing the gospel of Christ, believing it, and obeying it. And so for us, it is to be baptized. When we're baptized into Christ, that's when we put on Christ. And how sad is it that so many in the religious world claim to follow Jesus and claim to have the faith of Abraham, but they won't do what God says to do. They will not see baptism as essential for salvation because their denominational bias and history and all of that blinds their eyes, and they become hard-headed and hard-hearted and refuse to accept the truth that's stated so plainly in Scripture. It's that important. If I want to be one of the blessed, I have to do whatever God tells me to do, and that includes baptism. So the object of the blessing is those who will have the faith of Abraham to trust God and to obey him. So that brings us to our last point, which is the legacy of the blessing. And we'll do this quickly. But think about, you know, what we've talked about. The nature of the blessing is that God is starting something with Abraham that's going to go through his bloodline to bring the Savior and bring salvation to the whole world. That's the nature of it. The object of it is those who will trust and obey will receive what Abraham received. Their faith will be accounted unto them for righteousness. Even though we've sinned, God declares us not guilty, right? So that's the beauty of the gospel. So the legacy of this promise in Genesis 12, God says, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And then he says, blessed is the man who standeth not, or rather who walketh not in the way of sinners, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Psalm 1 in verse 1, blessed is the man. What does that mean? It means that if you want to be someone who inherits the promise that God made to Abraham, you can't be associating with sinners. Instead, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So if I want to be one of the blessed, that's the kind of person that I have to be. And that's what we're going to study in our next lesson, Psalm 1, the blessed man. These are the foundational beatitudes, this promise, and then Psalm 1 is the foundational beatitude. It kind of explains what all of them are going to be about. But that's what beatitudes are. They're explaining how to be one of God's blessed. So in the Old Testament, when we come across a beatitude, what we're learning is we're learning about seed line beatitudes. God is saying the Savior's coming, and if you want to be ready for him, if you want to be able to recognize him, if you want to become his disciple and his follower, then this is the kind of person you have to be. This is the kind of attitude that you must possess. And we're going to see what those beatitudes are that would bring men to Christ. And then you come to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 1 through 12, that we read. And the foundation of that sermon are those beatitudes, and they are transitional beatitudes. What Jesus is doing in the Sermon on the Mount, he didn't, you know, come up with a new way of teaching when he taught the beatitudes. There are beatitudes all throughout the Old Testament. What Jesus does is to take that method, those beatitudes, and to say, this is what the Old Testament was trying to show you, but my gospel is coming. So if you want to be able to go from the Old Testament to the New Testament, this is the kind of person you have to be. You have to be poor in spirit. If you're haughty and proudful and arrogant, you're not going to listen to me. You're going to do it your way, and you won't become a disciple of Jesus. If you're not meek, if you don't hunger after righteousness, all of those things. And so they're transitional. Jesus is saying, this is the kind of person you have to be to follow me. And the rest of the Sermon on the Mount is an expansion on that. And then you come into the New Testament and you have the kingdom beatitudes. And those beatitudes in the New Testament are God showing us, if we want to be faithful members of the Lord's kingdom, this is the kind of person we have to be. And so Jesus tells us how to transition into the kingdom, and now God is telling us through the New Testament writers how to faithfully live in the kingdom and to be ready for the Lord's return. Which brings us, of course, you know, to the end in Revelation, where there are seven beatitudes that show us how to be faithful in the kingdom, but also how to overcome, how to have the victory, and to be ready for heaven. And so that's the progression of the Beatitudes, and those are kind of the three sections that we're going to look at in this study: the Old Testament, the Sermon on the Mount, the preaching of Jesus, and then the New Testament, and see those different Beatitudes and how they relate to who we're supposed to be as Christians. So if I want to inherit this promise made to Abraham, if I want my faith to be counted to me for righteousness, if I want my sins to be forgiven, and I want to walk in the light, to have contact with the blood of Jesus, to be righteous before him, and if I want to go to heaven, then I have to be who the Beatitudes tell me to be, because that was their whole purpose and their whole focus. And it really gets to the heart of what it is to be a disciple of Jesus, and it does so in a way that kind of brings the whole Bible together, Old and New Testament, and shows the principles that carry through, you know, all the way through history, the kind of person that God wants us to be. So Lord willing, next time we're going to start that by looking at Psalm 1 as a foundational beatitude, and then we'll begin looking at the other beatitudes in the Old Testament as we go forward in the study. So we'll stop here, and Lord willing, we'll look at the first Psalm in our next lesson.